The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The question seems to be, how could things that were so incredibly good turn so incredibly bad so incredibly quickly? This text begins with the last verse of last week's text, after Jesus had read from the scroll of Isaiah, the one that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and they loved it. It even says here that all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. You know, as I have an idea that at least in some of this is groupthink, mob mentality, the kinds of things that will lead in people to sort of and give up that important thing of thinking for themselves and just in going with the flow. We, of course, have been entreated to this now for several weeks, if not months, knowing and reading every little poll that comes down the pike leading up to the caucuses in the Hawkeye State tomorrow. All of this, of course, is where's that bunch that has yet to make a choice? Which side are they going to go with? Oh, it's very exciting. But it's also not very good. It leads us to all kinds of things. And I begin to wonder, is this the kind of thing that might lead a person to end up camped out on the Malheur Wildlife Refuge in Oregon? It happens. Mobs are those who would and take on a life and of their own. And we see this. The fact that Luke says all spoke well of him in the 22nd verse, and all intended to were filled with rage in the 28th verse. And we want to know why. I happen to suspect that if you sat here before I got here for any length of time at all, you would be able to pass a basic test in law and gospel. Pastor Wayne would make sure that you were well schooled in such things, and wisely so. It is one of those categorical ways of putting things together that Lutherans use and should, because it allows us to look at the vitality of the word itself in such a way that we know it takes on a life of its own. When we speak of law and gospel, it reminds us that the same word can either accuse and condemn, or it can give hope and promise. And it's not how the word is spoken, it is how it is heard, how the Spirit is at work in the individual who hears it. It's interesting that even that this appears some in the Jeremiah text, as Jeremiah was given these words. Now I have put your words in my mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The same words, but God uses them in different ways, at different times, in different situations. It might be that those who heard Jesus and thought this was just wonderful was because they thought they still had control of the situation. Come on, Jesus, do one of those things that we heard you did it at Capernaum. Or the question of, isn't this Joseph's son? We remember when you were just a little kid around here, running around the temple square. We know things about you. Maybe it even went so far as to, and sort of in hushed whispers, wonder, did they ever really get a good answer on his and parentage? All of these things seem to be at play. And instead of responding directly to them, instead Jesus reminds them, the work of a prophet is simply to speak. And it's not an easy task, as Jeremiah would certainly find out, but it happens here even in his own hometown. No prophet is without honor except in his own hometown. Well, now they're starting to get a little steamed, it seems, and rightfully so. They want to be the ones who determine how the word works. If you're going to preach of grace and blessing and hope and being incredibly rich because of our seed faith, we want it preached here because that's for us. But if you're going to be talking about things like straightening up one's life or redemption or reconciliation or some such thing that might actually require something from us, well, that's for someone else out there. And Jesus says no. God's word goes where it will. And there's no accounting for who gets it and who doesn't. There were plenty of widows in Israel, but Elijah went out of the area to the widow of Sidon at Zarephath. And there were plenty of people who needed the healing touch that Elisha was able to give. He didn't even need to speak to Naaman. Yet Naaman was the one who was healed. Were there others who perhaps, quote, deserved it more? I imagine so. Naaman was the commander of the invading army. And yet God showed God's grace to him. As we gather today, we do come and we consider the mission. and the gospel that we have. We'll go downstairs with a little bit of joy and celebration and get right to it, to wondering what it is that God has in store for us in the year to come, to give thanks for God's and blessing in the past year, and always to know that we are part of something much bigger than ourselves. That we have a place in this world to share the goodness of God that goes to nations and kingdoms beyond our little place. To know that God calls us into the blessed work of speaking God's word in all of its fullness to all those who need it. Sometimes it will be the person beside you in the pew. Sometimes it will be the person out on the street who hasn't been inside a church in years. And sometimes it's you yourself. But God's word is still there, speaking in its fullness and grace to all those who are open and ready to hear. For those who are not, it's still there. Until they are. John's gospel has Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. The Spirit goes where it will. It's like the wind. You can't see it. It comes, it goes. From where we don't know to where we don't know. But we know when it's around us. God's word is at work. It's unfortunate that that those most close to Jesus couldn't find it. But by God's grace, millions of those around the world have. And we give thanks for that. Amen.